Exodus chapter 23. I'll look in verse 20 with me tonight. If you happen to be here, say amen. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Listen, we had a dandy time this morning. Amen. And I'm like Brother Ricketts. You know, we had a good one this morning. Boy, I sure don't want to kill it tonight. Amen. I believe Brother Ricketts has been known, if they had a good one at church on Sunday morning, he's been known, I think, a time or two, just call church off on Sunday night to keep from killing it, you know. But I've also known him to say that we've had some bad ones on Sunday morning. At least we get to come back tonight and try it all over again. Amen. But I'm glad you're here tonight. I hope you had a good time this morning if you was here. And so we don't want to kill it by no means. But Exodus chapter 23, look with me in verse 20. God's given the children of Israel some instruction here. And he says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries." Well, there's a good promise for the children of Israel, wasn't it? "For mine angel shall go before." And that's a good promise for us. Amen. We need the Lord to be the adversary of our adversary. Amen. And the enemy of our enemy tonight. "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites, unto the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. And thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land." Now notice what he said right there. "They shall not dwell in thy land." You notice whose piece of ground that was, don't you? Yeah. "Lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." You can be seated tonight. And let's pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Tell you again that we love you and we thank you, Nat, for what you've done. Help us now to preach for just a little while. Lord, I pray tonight if there's somebody here lost. Lord, I ask that you just save them tonight. Bring Holy Spirit conviction upon them that they might trust you this evening. God, as we preach tonight, might we preach in that in the power and that in the unction of the Holy Spirit tonight. God, you just got our mind and our thoughts tonight and give us the words that these dear folk need to hear tonight. That it might be a blessing to them, Lord, that they might find instruction in the Word of God. That the sinner in that might find conviction in that from the Holy Spirit. And God, I just pray that you'll touch us tonight while we might preach. And God, again, I want to tell you that we love you. And thank you for Calvary and for what it means to us. And ask you to save that sinner that's near as hell tonight. For Lord, they're about to slip away and run out of time. And we're going to give you the glory for it all. For these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen. As we look in the book of Exodus chapter 23, as the Lord is laying out to the children of Israel exactly about going into the promised land. Now if you look, the Lord promised them and that an angel. As a matter of fact, in my Bible, that angel is capitalized. A lot of people feel that the angel of the Lord that's mentioned here is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may be, and I don't know, I won't say either way, but I could see how it could be him. Because the Bible said in verse 21 that to beware of him and obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. Now, I really don't know tonight how many angels tonight that could reap judgment
and that upon people tonight. But the Lord said, this old boy right here, this angel could. And so you can chew on that for a little while. I'm not saying either way. So don't go out here and say the preacher said. I'm just giving you something to think about. But he said, I'm going to send my angel and that before you. And he'll drive out the inhabitants. And they just needed to go in and possess the land and drive out the inhabitants of the land so that it wouldn't be a snare unto them. Now let me say this today before I get started. That listen, if you don't keep yourself separated and that out of this world, it's going to be a snare unto you. Amen. Hey, listen, the gods and the things of this world is a snare unto the people of God. Hey, listen, we're not a snare unto them, but it's a snare unto us. It's a trap every time, and you need to understand that. Just as sure as Paul warned them about leaving the fire havens over there in Acts chapter 27, and the Bible said that when they supposed that they got what they wanted, it said they set out to sail, and they were just going to go 50 miles to the west. And the Bible said that they got away from that island and they were caught. And that's what happens with sin. It catches you and it becomes a snare in our life. So you got to be careful in that with the things of the world. But God had brought them up out of bondage. And he reminds them that many times that he had brought them and that out of the land of Egypt. Do you remember where God and that brought you from? Do you remember how that God saved you and washed you and made you clean? But he just didn't save us to sit on a church bench. He had an idea and a plan and that for our life. And I thought Brother Keith did a wonderful job last Sunday and that preaching on the will of God for our life. Now, I'm not going to preach that tonight because he done a real good job with that. But I want to look at what God was trying to do with the nation of Israel right here. I want to preach having a thought tonight, if you'll just stay with me for a little bit, on the thought of what you could have had. What you could have had. Can I say that first of all, number one, that God had a place for them. God had a place and that for the children of Israel. As a matter of fact, if you look in verse 20, the Bible said, and bring thee, talking about that angel, said he's going to keep thee in the way and bring thee into the place which I had prepared. God had a place that he wanted them to go. God had a place prepared for them. Can I tell you tonight that God has got a place in your spiritual life prepared for you. I just as sure as we looked at Gideon this morning on fighting God, wanted Gideon and that to go fight that battle even though he doubted and boy just couldn't trust a lot of times. God's got a place for you to be. Now I know that you get saved and you start out on a church bench, and I know that you start out in Sunday school. If you don't come, you should. Amen. At least that's how you learn and that the Word of God. But somewhere along the line you ought to seek God's will for your life and find out the place where He wants you at in Him. And so God, He lays out, He said, I've give you a place which I have prepared. You know, a lot of people, and I'm getting ahead of myself, a lot of people miss what God's prepared for them simply because they just don't want to. And they're happy to be saved, but that is as far as they want to go. And listen, the children of Israel here in a little bit, I'm really getting ahead of myself. Listen, all they wanted to do was be out from under the bondage of Egypt. Yep. And then they wanted to go do their own thing. But it don't work that way. Hey, listen, God had a place for them. Look down in verse 23. He talks about the angel. He said he's going to bring you unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. And so they knew all that piece of ground over there that God was going to give them. As a matter of fact, he lays out exactly what their boundaries and that ought to be. From the Red Sea, he tells them over there. He said, I've set it from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, which I believe is talking about the Mediterranean Sea. And from the desert all the way back to the river. And you'll find out he's talking about the Euphrates River. At one time, he just told Abraham, he said, you just look. And he said, whatever you see, that's what I'm going to give you. You keep that in your mind while I preach tonight. Amen. Listen, God was going to give them a great big old piece of ground over there. But all they had to do was go, wasn't it? Just had to go. Just had to go. They were going to have to go, but they were going to have to go and fight. I know that, listen, that we compare and that heaven a lot of times to the land of Canaan. But can I tell you, in Canaan, there was fighting that had to go on. Hey, listen, to get over there in the promised land, they had to fight when they got over there. Hey, I believe I'm living in Canaan now. Hey, I made my way and that from the bondage of Egypt because of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm no longer now in the wilderness. Thank God for that. I hope and I think that I'm in the will of God. But this was a place that they knew about. What do you mean it was a place that they knew about? What God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all them past years about a land that flowed with milk and honey. He said, look, he told Abraham, he said, I'm going to get them over there. He said, if you can count the stars in heaven or the sand upon the seashore, that's how big your seed's going to be, Abraham. But he said, for 400 years, they're going to be down in the land of bondage, down in there. And he said, after that, I'm going to take them to a land that I promised them. So see, they knew all along about the will of God. Moses, when he stepped out on the scene, he knew about the promised land. I'm determined today that most Christians know that God's got a will for their life. God's got a place prepared for you to be at. Now, they hadn't seen that place before, but they knew about it. And like I said this morning, sometimes that's what gets us in trouble, is simply because we've not seen it or because we've not been there and we don't want to step out on faith, then we won't go. You can ask my wife how many new movies I like to watch. Not too many. Why? I don't know how they end. When I watch a TV show, I kind of like to know how it's going to end before I ever watch it. She said, don't that take the fun out of it? Not for me. You know how many times I watch the Andy Griffith Show over and over and over again? As my mom and daddy says, you know, they're in their late 60s and daddy's fixing to turn 70 in February. He says, son, we can watch them today and 2 weeks later we've already forgot how they end. Ain't that bad yet. But I kind of like to know how things are going to work. Listen, God already told them how it's going to work. They didn't have to guess. They didn't have to wonder. He said, look, I'm going to send my angel before you. He's going to fight for you. I'm going to send a hornet in front of you. He's going to drive them out. You're just going to have to fight along the way. But I'll be there. Can I tell you, in God's will, we may have to fight along the way, but He'll be there. Amen, preacher, that's right. He'll be there. And so it was a good place. If you go back and you look in Exodus chapter 3 and verses 8 and verse 17 and Exodus 13, you'll find out that God promised them it would be a place of milk and honey. Well, then I want you to look at number 2, not only the place that God had prepared for them, but then look at the promise that He had made. He said, if you'll just go and be obedient, I'll take care of all of it. He said, if you just go and serve, if you look in verse 24 and 25, He said, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing catch their young nor burn in thy land. How the number of thy days I will fulfill. God said, if you'll just do, now this is a promise. He said, if you'll just do what I'm telling you, go to the place where I send you, I'll bless you while you're there. Sounds like a deal, don't it? Let me ask you tonight, church, would you rather be in God's will or out of God's will? Well, now, wait a minute now, preacher. It's what God's will is for my life. Where'd you rather be, in God's will or out of God's will? God's will is sometimes scary. It's unknown sometimes. It's a little dark and shadowy. But He's with me.
Amen.
But yet, if I'm not in God's will, I may know what's fixing to happen tomorrow, but yet He's my enemy now. So who would you rather have? Would you rather have God on your side in His will, even though it's dark and shadowy, and we may not know exactly what's going on, and we're going to have to fight,
Or would we rather perhaps be fighting against God? See, that's what happens when you get out of the will of God. You're fighting against Him. God promised to bless them if they would just go and do what He said, if they would go and separate themselves and that from them and drive them out. He said, I will bless thee. But if they did not, they were going to be a snare unto them. Now you need to remember that. That's going to be a snare. Now this is in the book of Exodus. Now take your Bible and go to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And we find that they have got ready and that to go into Canaan land. And so God allows them to send out some spies. And God takes, Moses sends out one man out of every tribe of the nation of Israel, 12 men. And in verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up unto the mountains and see the land that it, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that dwell in, and what the land is that dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shehi, and Talmai, the children of Anak were. Children of Anak were giants, by the way. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came in the land whither thou sentest us, and it surely floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. God had promised them what they were going to have, and He delivered. Notice right here, they said, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. Look at the fruit that we can have in this land. I mean, they brought back a bunch of grapes that was carried between two men on a staff. I don't know if they were so many little grapes or great big grapes. I kind of think like Big Jim Seaton had it. I believe you could have took one grape, ate out the front of it, hollered out the skin and put it on your head for a hat. I don't know if that's true, but I know one thing. There was enough fruit out of that land of what God had promised to a family. Amen. So God's promise rang true. They could see it on the other side. They could look at it and physically see it. Men had went in and come back with report and said it's just like God said it was going to be. And I tell you tonight, whatever God wants you to do in His will, it'll be just like God said it's going to be. The promise was right. But look at the problem that they ran into. In verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Why was that a surprise? Didn't God tell them that to start with? Yep. Hadn't God told them that they were going to be there? Amen. Hadn't God said, I'll send my angel in, I'll send the hornet before you, and you just got to go in and fight? They're going to be there. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we were well able, we are well able to overcome it. Thank God for Caleb tonight. Well, man that loved God, believed God, said, preacher, we can go. Let's just go. Tell you a story. I was just a man tell a story the other day. It's not a great big church. I don't know. They might run 100. And a man in the church, he talked to his preacher, talked to the pastor, and he said, pastor, I really feel that we ought to have a printing ministry here. And I'd like to take part in that. And so him and his pastor began to pray about that thing. And the pastor felt that way. And so he met with the men and said, men, we need to pray about this thing. That's all I want you to do is just pray about it. And so that rocked on for about a week or two. And one day the preacher got a phone call from one of the ladies in the church. And one of her relatives had passed away. And she was going to tithe on the inheritance that she was going to get. All right, I keep that in mind, okay? She's going to tithe on it. Now in the process of them praying for about a week or two, this old boy that wanted to help run in the print and press business, he had located one over in Nashville. And it was a company that was upgrading their print and press. And they wanted $30,000 for that used press, but the new one's $100,000. And this is a full color press and make all kinds of tracts and literature. And all they want is $30,000. And so the preacher gets that call that day about that lady getting her inheritance. Guess what her inheritance? The part that she was going to tithe on. This is what's exciting. I don't know what her inheritance was, but I know what she tithed on. It's $32,000. You reckon God wanted them to have a print and press ministry? I mean, how could you say that he couldn't? He said he met with the men again after that and said, boys, y'all been praying? And they said, preacher, we this, and didn't tell nobody yet. Said, preacher, we just believe that we really ought to do this. And he began to tell them the story about what God was going to be able to do. Not one person said, preacher, we can't do it. But here they are. They said, you ought to see the problems we're going to run into. And Caleb said, look, we're well able to overcome. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report out of the land, which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. We just can't do it. Look at the problem that they had. The reason. They looked at all the people that was going to be against them. And I tell you, not everybody's going to be for you doing the will of God. Not everybody's going to be for you to be where you're at. Now shame on it if it's church people. And shame on it if it's Christians. I want you to be where God wants you to be in His will. Because if you're in His will, that ought to satisfy me. I don't know His will for your life. Now I can tell you it ain't out in the world. Amen. I can tell you it ain't acting like the world. I can tell you it ain't dressing like the world. Smelling like the world. Being like the world. I can tell you it ain't that tonight. Even I struggle trying to find the will of God for my life sometimes. But they said, we saw all these people and they're greater than we are. There's giants down there. Now, if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to serve God fighting giants tonight. You better get hold of that now. You better understand that. But listen, God had already told them, look, just go and fight and I'll be there. It's too much of a battle, preacher. We just can't do it. It's going to be too hard to accomplish. Can I tell you, there's never been anything that was easy to do if it was worth doing. That's right. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Life ain't always easy. But I'm going to tell you, serving God ain't always easy either. Amen. Sometimes there's hurdles that gets in the way, and there's battles that we have to fight. Sometimes we just got to figure out which one is a hurdle that we got to fight, and which one is God putting up a roadblock. And you can discern them pretty fast if you try. And listen, there's a lot of people, I can imagine them talking between themselves. Man, you ought to have seen what we saw down there. And I mean, they told all the people about the giants. They told all the people about how walled up the cities were. They told all the people about all the enemies they were going to have to fight. Joshua and Caleb said, but we can go. Let's just go now. We will surely win. I didn't intend to go here tonight, but take your Bible and go to the book of Joshua. Go to the book of Joshua. I want to show you something. In the book of Joshua, let me see if I can find what I'm looking for here. And I'm going to have to find it here. Let me. Oh, here we go. Joshua chapter 2. And most of y'all have heard me talk about this and preach on this from time to time. Look at Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9. Now this is Rahab the harlot. This is after they have crossed the Jordan River and they're going in to fight. Now they finally going to go in and fight. But this is some 40 years later. And I'm telling you the story ahead of time. And yinz are going to get the idea here in a minute. But this is 40 years later from what they, from the 12 spies right here. This is 40 years later. Look in verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know. Now, two spies have went into Jericho to spy out the land, to get ready to go conquer it. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is a God in heaven above and in earth beneath. What's the point, preacher? Rahab said, look, 40 years ago, when God parted the Red Sea and you crossed over on dry ground, and 40 years ago when y'all defeated Sihon and Og, the kings over there, God made our heart melt that day. But those 12 spies or them 10 spies 40 years ago said, we can't go in. You don't know what God's doing on the other side of the Jordan River when you get ready to go fight in the battle. You don't know how God's made preparations. You don't know how God's paved the way and that for you to go in and do His will. All they could see what was in front of them, that there was giants in the land, that there was walled cities in the land, that there was a great number of people in the land, and we're going to have to fight. But Rahab said, 40 years ago, when you come up out of the land of Egypt, God had already melted our heart. Think about that for just a minute. Now, do you remember what I'm preaching on? Remember the title of the message? What you could have had. That's what I'm preaching on. So you get over in chapter 14. And the people of the nation of Israel, man, they got in such a bad shape. They said in verse 2, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. Man, they're in bad shape. I mean, they're broke down. They even talked about stoning Joshua and Caleb at one time. And I mean, they were going to get a captain of their own and go back to the land of Egypt. Now, that's how bad they had got. You know what? In the problems that they saw, God had had enough. And so if you look over in Numbers chapter 14, I want you to look what God says
in verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which gave murmur, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you say should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses shall be wasted in the wilderness, after the number of the days which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. They're standing right there where they could have went in and crossed Jordan and went to the promised land, to Canaan's land. God just kind of, I wasn't even paying attention tonight what we're singing for the first song. Man, I was singing the song. Don't misunderstand me. I was singing the song. And about the second verse, I realized what we were singing. Canaan land is just in sight. I thought, Lord, thank you for your stamp of approval. I appreciate that. It was just in sight. They could see it. They could smell it. They'd seen the fruits of it. But God said, I've had enough. He tells Moses at one time, he said 10 times, he said 10 times, they have disobeyed me. If you look in chapter 14, God only give you so long to do His will.
Amen.
Don't think you got all day and all night and all next week and week after that. And God's very gracious and God's very slow to anger. But you know what? Eventually God will get tired of some things. And if you keep telling God no, 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 then it'll be what you could have had. God said, I'm going to let you wander around in this. You ought to study the nation of Israel. They just wandered around on a mountain range out there for 40 years.
That's right.
In a great big circle. For 40 years until every one of them died out there in the wilderness. So if you read on, you'll find out that they decided that they were going to go. They said, we're going to go. Bible said in verse 39, chapter 14, and Moses told these sayings and all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. See, they knew it was God's promise. They knew it was the place that God wanted them to be at. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall utterly fall by the sword, because ye have turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed, well, you better be careful about making presumptions. But they presumed to go up to the hilltop. Nevertheless, Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed now out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in him smote them, and discontented them even unto Hormah. Well, I thought God wanted them to go into the promised land. He wanted them to go into the promised land when God said to go. Not when they wanted to go. God said, okay, enough's enough. Sometimes there's missed opportunities in our life. And you know the shame of it is? They're missed. You can't go back and get them. And so here it is. They said, we're going to go. Now remember what you could have had. They could have had Canaan land, couldn't they? They could have had a land that flowed with milk and honey. They could have had a land that, I mean, grapes that had to be carried, a stalk of them between two men upon a staff, and pomegranates, no telling how big they were. And God had promised it to them. All they had to do is go fight. So to make a long story short, 40 years they wandered around in the wilderness. Moses dies. God tells them to get up and get ready to go because they're going to cross the Jordan. They're fixing to fight. And you know the thing about this, even when they're wandering around in the wilderness, God was gracious to them.
Amen.
He fed them with manna and with quail, made their shoes grow with their feet, and their clothes never wore out. He was gracious to them.
Right.
Even in their sin and in their backslid condition, God was gracious to them. So they get over, and all through the book of Joshua, they begin to fight. And they fight, and they fight, and they fight. Caleb's 85 years old, and he says, I want that mountain that was mine to start with some 40 years ago. And Joshua said, it's yours, you go fight. And he gets it, just like that. He said, I'm as strong now as I was at 40, as I am, or 45, as I am now, Joshua. I'm just as strong. But I'll be honest with you, if I live to be 80, I hope I'm just as strong as I am now. Buddy of mine that I run with some, he's got a farm up there in Sweetwater, and it was his papa's farm, and I'd go up there and help him from time to time, and some of you know Jim Henry. And I can remember Jim, I'd go up there some, and him 85 years, and he died when he was almost 87. He was 85 years old, and cut a truckload of wood, if I'm not mistaken, two truckloads of wood, and split it by hand at 85 years old. If I live to be 85, I hope I can cut two truckloads of wood. I'd settle for one. Amen. And split it by hand. I just tell you, that's a man right there. But I want you to look at something. And you know, most of you know the story. After 40 years and all those old heads had died off, and they get into the land of Canaan, and they begin to fight. But we know that Joshua dies. Those that was with Joshua dies. Look in the book of Judges. Real quick as I get ready to close. Stay with me in the book of Judges. Now remember, I'm preaching on what you could have had. What you could have had. Now you remember why they didn't get what they could have had? It was going to be too hard. Too many people. Too much fighting. Too many walled cities, what we could have had. And see, if they would have just known how God was going to handle them walled cities, did they have to knock them walled cities down? Only walled city we know about is Jericho, didn't
it?
In Joshua chapter 6, they get out there and march around it one time a day. And then they march around it seven times on the seventh day. And on the Now, they had to be quiet. But on the seventh day, they shouted for the victory and the walls fell down. Now me personally, now you think whatever you want to, but I think the walls fell down. I don't think they fell down this way or this way. I think they fell down this way. Maybe they did fall down this way or this way. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I think. You can throw all that mess out. Look in Judges chapter 1. Look in verse 17. All right, they fought. They started to take the land. Now remember, God. Now listen to me now. I told you to remember some things. Remember the boundaries that God gave them? Remember the boundaries? God said, we'll start down here at the Red Sea, start over here at the Mediterranean Sea, all the way up to the desert, and go all the way over here to the Great River, over here to the Euphrates River. That's over in modern-day Iraq. Okay?
Amen.
Now remember that. Remember all that. Going to encompass Syria, Turkey. Going to remember all this now. Why are you telling me? Just stay with me. Verse 17 of the book of Judges chapter 1. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. And Judah took Gaza, and the coast thereof, and Ashkelon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Number one. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Those were giants. Caleb went in and whooped the giants and drove them out. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Number two. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword. But they let go the man and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of the Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ebalam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. That's number three, ain't it? And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. Boy, I've said so many ites, hadn't I? The tribute, and did not utterly drive them out. That's number four. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Five. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Naphtali, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Number six. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akhol, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor Halab, nor Akzib, nor Helba, nor Aphek, nor Rehob. That's seven, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Are y'all keeping up how I'm counting right here? But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath became tributaries unto them. I believe that's eight. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. Nine. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres and Ajalon and in Shelbim. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up unto Akrabim, from the rock and upward. So somewhere around 9 or 10, we find different times when the children of Israel did not drive out the inhabitants of the land. 40 years has passed. Joshua's took them in. They have fought. They have fought all the time that Joshua and those men that was with Joshua was in charge. And they went in and they drove and they fought and they done what God said to do. Joshua dies, and we find out a time that they just quit really fighting. They just quit driving out the inhabitants of the land. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Did God not tell them all the way that back in the book of Exodus, what I first read tonight? God said, now if you mess with them, they're going to be a snare to you. They're going to be a trap to you. And listen, they refused to drive them out. Why did they refuse to drive them out? It got hard to drive them out. You know, if you're messing with the world, it gets kind of hard to drive the world out of your life. Amen. If you're dabbling in the world, it's hard to get the world out of you. God had promised them what? God had promised them from the Red Sea all the way to the Mediterranean Sea up into the desert and all the way over to the Euphrates River over here. God had promised that for their land. And still to this day, Israel's never had that piece of ground. God told them what they could have had. All they had to do is what He said to do. Just go fight. Do what I tell you to do and I'll bring you to a place. I think by the time they got into the land of Canaan and got them a piece of ground, some of it was hard. Hey, I'm going to tell you, it's never easy. Sometimes it's easy. It's not always easy to serve God, sometimes it gets hard. Kind of like Job was talking about this morning. We seen in Sunday school. Job said, "You fenced me off, Lord. You've made it dark. I can't see. I can't go no further. I don't know what." Sometimes we don't know what's going on. But God told him way back yonder, "If you'll just go fight, let me fight with you, I'll give you the land." I think sometimes some of them got satisfied. You know what I'm afraid of this for our church more than anything? You know what scares me more than anything? Not false doctrine. Not as long as I'm here. Not false doctrine don't scare me. Not as long as I'm here. At least it might slip in, but you can sure enough bet I'm going to shoot at it till it quits wiggling. Amen. And it does scare me that I could fall. That does bother me, and that does scare me because I know that I'm just flesh. So I got to guard myself. But you know what? You know what worries me more than anything about church is that we just get content and become satisfied in the shape that we're in. I think that's what happened to the children of Israel in the book of the Judges. They were just happy where they were. They were content with the shape that they were in. God still wanted them to go on and fight and take the rest of the land. But they had a piece of ground. Everything was going pretty good. Listen, we even put them to tributaries. You know what that means? They're paying us taxes. Why would we want to go any further? They're dwelling in our land and we're getting taxes off of them. But they had become a snare to them. And they didn't get what God wanted them to have. I'm afraid sometimes we miss what God wants us to have. Either because it's too hard or because we're satisfied where we're at. Amen? I don't want to get satisfied. I don't want to say, "Boy, it's too hard. Let's go." I'm like Joshua and Caleb. We can do it. Let's go. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house. What about the will of God for your life? What about the will of God for your life? What's He wanting you to do? Men, come on, let's get some verse of invitation tonight if we would. Are you like Joshua and Caleb? And you're doing all that you can to serve God. Now listen, if I asked you all tonight, how many of us could do better? Every one of us have to get up here and get on altar. And that's not what I'm asking you to do tonight. Okay, that's not what I'm asking you to do. What I'm asking you to do is maybe you've become satisfied in the will of God. Now if you're right where God wants you to do and doing what God would like for you to do, that's good. You're right where God wants you. That's fine. You keep doing what God wants you to do. But listen tonight, maybe you become satisfied, or maybe you're looking at some things in your life and you say, "It's too hard, preacher. It's too hard for me to serve God. It's too hard for me to do what God wants me to do. It's just too hard." Listen, it's never too hard when God's on our side tonight. Listen, most of all tonight, you may be saying, "It's too hard for me to come and get saved." It's not too hard for you to come and get saved. Easiest thing in the world for you to do is just come gather up around this altar, be brokenhearted for your sin, believe that Jesus loves you and died for you and rose again for you and asked Him to save you, and He'll do that tonight.